Hello, and thank you for selecting this podcast in which Anne Wicking talks to us about the Compassionate Employers program.
Compassionate employers basically have a really focused opinion of their employees and their staff. In other words, that they really value the input that they get from their staff and they want to support them in any way that they can. And that's usually evidenced by how they offer the employee support following the death of a loved one. And normally that starts with just being able to sit down with an employee and say, look, we understand this is what's happened to you and we understand that you've lost a loved one and now we want to support you.
I imagine it also requires them to have at least some fundamental understanding of the impact of grief.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that just generally in our society that we're not really aware of unless we've been actually touched by the death of a very close loved one. And I think the thing with employees is that that's not their core business. It's not what they're there to be doing. So therefore, it enters into their work environment and yet there's not necessarily always the knowledge of what they can do to support someone. So what I think the first thing is people need to start to be able to think and understand some of the issues that are associated with grief and a death of people.
Tell me something about the feedback you've received over the years as regards the types or response that some people who've lost loved ones have received from their employers. Obviously, it hasn't all been good.
Oh, look, it's certainly, you're right. There's some incredibly inspiring stories of people that have been so well supported that you just feel that the humanness in that organisation is just invaluable and the compassion is just unbelievable. But equally, there's many stories that we've also heard where people have actually had to leave their employment because there has been absolutely no consideration. In fact, to the reverse, where people have had expectations placed on them that they just haven't been able to meet in terms of their performance and what they're doing within the work environment. And that creates, if you think about employers, they're part of our community and they're part of our caring support in times when life can be a real struggle. And unfortunately, when you lose that part of that support, that part of that community, when you have to are forced to leave a role because there is no support within the workplace, it makes it very, very difficult for people just generally, not just financially, of course, that's a huge strain, but also emotionally.
So what was behind the establishment 10 years ago of the Compassionate Employer Awards? I take it just to generate a greater understanding, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I guess it comes back to exactly what you were saying. You know, there are good employers out there and they're not so good employers. And given that Compassionate Friends, you know, is working with families all the time, we consistently had anecdotal evidence of a range of different stories from exceptionally good employers to exceptionally bad employers. And we see our role as part of our role is around community education, is to getting out into the community and saying, hey, look, if we can make this a better place, then everybody will be well served. The employer will be well served as well as the employee. So our thought was, well, you can either go and highlight those that do it badly or you can highlight those that have best practice and do it really well. So our desire was let's highlight those that do it well with the view that they can support other employers to start to think about the issue of grief and death in the workplace and to hopefully engage and take on some policy and practice that was going to be really supportive. And I guess that's what we're achieving by having the awards. So over the years, we've now awarded 164 organisations with awards, and they have stretched from being very small, family-run organisations in even regional and country parts of Victoria and Australia, right through to the very largest of international corporates. And the core principle that really, I guess, is highlighted across the board is that their desire and their willingness to see their employees as the most valuable asset that they have. And I'm using the word asset loosely here, but I guess we always talk about human resources as being our most valuable resource, but it is the truth. And each of the organisations that have been awarded have been awarded on the basis that that's what they viewed their employee as, a very valuable resource within the organisation, not just a resource but a human being that is going through a very difficult personal time that needs to be supported. So whether it's a small or a large company, that's the core of the way in which those organisations will work.
Tell me something about the 10 guidelines. Mm-hmm. So is this a fairly recent publication?
Sure. We actually launched that this year, being the 2013 being the 10th year of the awards. Well, I guess the very first one and one of the most important ones that I guess is fairly obvious and yet one that employers, again, because it's not their core business, necessarily have a great understanding about bereavement and grief. So that's the first point. And we're not suggesting that employers need to be completely trained in the area of grief and bereavement, but to have some understanding of what impacts people is really important. So one of the things that we've put in the guidelines that we suggest is perhaps senior management or human resources just start to gain an understanding around what grief and bereavement is about, and also to have at least some resources of where to refer their employees to get extra support. That would be a really good start.
So you're talking about a bereavement policy as such, aren't you?
Yeah, well, a bereavement policy or at least some guidelines that are set out so that in the event, as we have got policy around a range of different things like occupational health and safety, around parental leave, around all sorts of things, it would be good to have some sort of procedure or guidelines in place to say that if you've got an employee that's had a very close significant loved one that's died, that we have got a process that we can go through to try and support that person. Because business is not around grief and bereavement, it's one of the areas, and as a society we don't talk about it a great deal. When we're confronted with something, we really don't know what to do, and so these guidelines really effectively are there to say, here's a starting point for you, take a look at these and see what could be supportive of your organisation to implement in the event that you do come up with a scenario. And I suspect that most employers or most places of work will have people in them that have a significant loved one that's died.
Let's take an example and talk to Sonia, who's with you today. Sonia, tell us something about your situation, and without wanting to cause you to relive some of the pain of your grief, tell us how your situation came about.
I worked as a manager at an aged care provider and was working full-time when my brother and only sibling died. He committed suicide at the age of 29, so it was a big shock. And I felt very supported by my employer. They were wonderful. Even before I knew processes were in place for them to support me, my husband had called. He was given the news and to come and tell me. So he called the office and spoke to one of the girls there who knew he was on his way and was ensuring that my day, that I wasn't going out anywhere. And the moment he arrived, she came and packed up everything and told me I needed to go and said she would look after everything. At that time I was case managing a group of aged care clients, so obviously it was important that my caseload was looked after whilst I was away. And at that point I didn't work, obviously wasn't on my mind, and I knew I didn't have to worry about it, and I'm still at that same place. Been there 8 years now, so.
So you felt totally supported?
Felt very supported. My manager called me a day or two later and we had a chat, and we were in regular contact over the few weeks that I had to take off. She didn't want any of my annual leave taken for my time off, so she actually gave me some of her own hours, which was, I didn't know at the time, but later found out, which was really lovely, and felt very supported. And on my return as well, I had nothing but support.
I guess that's just the sort of story you like hearing, Anne.
Oh, absolutely. It's Sonia's story and the very many stories, exactly how these guidelines have been created, because it's what they've said that's been most supportive and helpful that we've actually pulled together to put into this document. So this comes from people's lived experience of what they have found useful, and that's really one of the most critical things. It's not just a theoretical document, it's a document that's been produced based on people's experiences and what's been most useful for them.
I've been talking to Compassionate Friends of Victoria CEO Anne Wicking. For more information on the 10 guidelines for compassionate employers, please call 98 88 49 44. That's 98884944, or download a copy from www.compassionatefriendsvictoria.org.au.